بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربما يود الذين كفروا لو كانوا مسلمين صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home, we heard in tonight's Taraweeh with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the 14th juz, and the surah was Suratul Hijr. So we started with Suratul Hijr, then Suratul Nahl. So in the beginning of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ, that on the day of Qiyamah, the disbelievers, they will have this tamanna and desire when they will see the different types of azab that Allah has in store for them. And the horrifying condition of Qiyamah, and when they will see Jahannam, they will make this tamanna and desire, لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ, if only we were Muslims. If only we believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world, then now we would have been safe from the azab of Jahannam and from the terror and horror of Qiyamah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we have mentioned previously, and in so many verses that we came across, it was his burning desire that every person may be saved from the fire of Jahannam, his entire ummah. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is divided in two. Ummat-e-da'wat and ummat-e-ijabat. Those who accepted the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they are known as ummat-e-ijabat. Ummat-e-da'wat are those who we have to give da'wah to, the disbelievers, to save them from the fire of Jahannam. So Rasulullah ﷺ would work tirelessly. The Quran in Surah Al-Kahf, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَلًا. In the other verse, إِن تَحْرِسْ عَلَىٰ هُدَاهُمْ. So Rasulullah ﷺ was harish, desirous that all of them may be saved from the fire of Jahannam and gain entry into Jannah. Despite the fact that they persecuted him, tormented him, scoffed at him, troubled him, accused him of being a sahir, a magician, a majnoon, a mad person, but still he would go again and again, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ تُفْلِحُ. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this will be the tamanna of those disbelievers on the day of Qiyamah, that if only they accepted your da'wah, your message, and they accepted Islam. Now, you have made that effort. ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسُوفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Leave them. Don't bother about them. Let them carry on eating and enjoying the merries of this world, the pleasures of this world, and having long drawn aspirations that makes them heedless of akhirat and the real abode. فَسُوفَ يَعْلَمُونَ, soon they will know. So we find, if you look at the life of a disbeliever, then you will find that his whole occupation in this world, in his life, khana, peena, eating, drinking. So many other verses depicts the same picture. The disbeliever, his whole occupation, his fikr, is only what? Himamuhum butunuhum. Their stomachs, eating and drinking, and enjoying the things of this world, the vanities of this world. So they have long, long aspirations. You see all the advertisements, and all the ideologies and plans that they have, and they present to us, as though there is no such thing as maut. So Allah Ta'ala tells Rasulullah, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا. Leave them, let them eat and enjoy. وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ. Amal here with the Hamza Alif. In other words, having long drawn aspirations, arzu, umid, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll build that, we'll have this vision and that vision. فَسُوفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Soon they will know. So because their whole occupation, just eating and drinking, and All the aspirations and long-drawn plans are for what? For the comfort, for their comfort in this dunya. Comfort in this dunya. So they become greedy. They're heedless of maut. They don't ponder over maut. And therefore in one hadith of Rasulullah SAW, it mentioned the latter part of this ummah. Their destruction will be two things. Kanjusi, miserliness, and having long, long aspirations. Amal. Person does not realize. Rasulullah in one hadith he has explained, he drew a line, illustration for the Sahaba. He drew a line, this is insan, hadal insan. And then he drew another line, going much up. This is man's aspirations. I will do this, I will save that much, I'll invest this in that, do this and that plan and that plan. And he says, whilst all this is happening, another line he drew this way, horizontal. And he said, this is his ajal, his maut. Doesn't even see those plans that he had. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles Rasulullah SAW in this verse, رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ The kuffar, whom you are trying desperately and you have that desire that each one must embrace Islam, but some of them, they have become so heedless and their only occupation is eating and drinking and long-drawn aspirations. Rasulullah SAW is told by Allah ta'ala, leave them alone. This is a stern warning against the disbelievers. Another verse we read, simple, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ And worship your Rabb until yaqeen. Yaqeen here means maut. So we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our commitment to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right till maut comes to us. So, till we reach the end of our life. Not only on certain occasions. We're not seasonal Muslims. Month of Ramadan, mashallah, we're going all out. Alhamdulillah, continue. We must all. It is the month of barakah, rahmat, maghfirat. And Allah Ta'ala has got special barakat, blessings. But it's not the moment Ramadan comes. That's the end of our ibadat. Then we are like hypocrites. Allah forgive us. It's right till maut, and maut is regarded to be as yaqeen. That means we have yaqeen and certitude that maut will come. When it will come, we do not know. So till then, it is a every day effort, commitment, every moment, every second. I have to worship my Allah. I have to please my Allah. I must not do anything that will displease my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. And then we did the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ I think most of us know this verse by heart because we hear it in the second khutbah in Jumu'ah and we know that now the Mawlana's khutbah is finishing. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Ali was known as Umar al-Thani. He came from the progeny of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And he was an ajeeb person, just pious. In fact, that is why they call him Umar the Second. Extremely pious. And he had pondered and he said, this verse, we should include it in the second khutbah in the Jumu'ah. And all of us recite this verse in the second khutbah. But of course, we have to ponder over its meanings. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, ulama and mufassirin have written, the most comprehensive verse in the Quran is this verse. Three commands, three prohibitions. Three do's, three don'ts. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ Allah commands you with justice. Now, inshallah, that's another topic. I mentioned the adri also, a few aspects regarding justice. Allah give us tawfiq. We have to speak on this separately, inshallah. But إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ And being kind to mankind. Doing good deeds, being kind to people. Two. إِنَّ اللَّهِ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى And giving to your close ones, relatives. Charity begins at home. So, charity. So Allah tells us to be just. Allah tells us to be good. And Allah tells us to be charitable. And the don'ts, وَيَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَى فَحْشَى means to be obscene. To be immoral. وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. منكر, we did the other day also, معروف and منكر. معروف, all those deeds which has been authorized by Shari'at as good. So good deeds is ma'ruf. Munkar, all those deeds that Allah and Rasulullah mentioned that it is evil. So Allah Ta'ala prohibits us from munkar, all evil deeds. Evil deeds, now it's a broad word, includes in it zina, lying, cheating, deceiving, everything. And bagh is oppression. Allah Ta'ala prohibits us from oppression. So these are three do's and three don'ts. There was a person by the name Aktham bin Saifi, radiallahu ta'ala. But before he embraced Islam, he heard about Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah. This is a person who is claiming he is a Nabi, he is a prophet of Allah. So he was the leader of his people. He decided, let me go and check this man out. Who is he? What is he saying? Is he a genuine messenger? Is he fake? Some people said, no, you are the leader, you shouldn't be going. Send two other people. So he chose two people from his tribe, selected two people and tells them, you go survey the situation there, check this man out and come back and report. So they go and they meet Rasulullah SAW. And the two questions he asked, ma anta wa man anta? In other words, who are you? What are you? Who are you? What is your lineage? What are you? I'm a Nabi of Allah, etc. Rasul said straight, Ana Muhammad bin Abdullah. I'm Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, that's all. He didn't give a long lineage, anything. And he said, I'm the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, Rasul recited this verse, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. They heard this, they came back and they reported. The moment Aktham bin Saifi heard this, immediately he said, that this man, he is commanding high morals and he is prohibiting you from evil deeds, evil actions. He says, let us all embrace his deen quickly so that we may be in front of others and not people who will follow and come and lag behind and then embrace later. So immediately he accepted Islam and he told, encourage his tribe to accept Islam. So this verse was the means of Aktham bin Saifi radiallahu ta'ala embracing Islam. There's another person by Uthman bin Mad'un, another very great sahabi. We don't have time, inshallah, some other occasion. Allah give us tawfiq. We are saying so many things we have to say and say. If Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, we will say it. Uthman bin Mad'un, beautiful incidents about this sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala, he's buried in Jannatul Baqi. And if I'm not mistaken, the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim, radiallahu ta'ala, is also buried in the same qabr or next to Uthman bin Mad'un, radiallahu ta'ala, he's going to check that up again. But Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu ta'ala, he had embraced Islam, but he says Islam really, and Iman was embedded and entrenched in my heart after I heard this particular verse. When I heard this verse, now we heard the verse and we can speak about it, but it doesn't have that effect. Allah forgive us. Why? Our hearts, my heart I would say, has become hard. We need to soften our hearts. And we soften our hearts by dhikrullah, tilawat of the Quran, tawbah, istighfar, and various other actions we do, inshallah, our heart will become softened. When the heart becomes softened, then it will be able to make jazb and accept, will be receptive to whatever Allah Ta'ala is saying. We find a person is sick, and he's very sick. Doctors are trying desperately. The man breaks down, he cries. At that time, he's very, very soft. His heart is soft. And that's the time he's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his own words. Nobody's around, but he's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, you are most great. Ya Allah, I beg you for shifa. Oh Allah, I ask you for forgiveness. Ya Allah, I have done wrong in my life. Also, when a person goes for Hajj and Arafat day, then he realizes that he's just an abd, a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's just donned in that simple ihram. Say the shovel and he's covered with dust and he raises his hand. And that's another time when his heart becomes soft. Also when somebody very close passes away, at that time the person becomes very, very soft. In the month of Ramadan also, because we are making an effort and mujahada on our nafs, we're not giving our nafs the normal enjoyment it used to get. We're starving it a bit. So, Comparatively, now the nafs also is not getting that type of food that it was getting. So we're training the nafs, the heart also becomes soft. And especially toward the last 10 nights, you'll find you just break down in dua, you break down in your salat, you don't know why you're crying, something happens to you. It's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu, this verse, after he heard it, iman became more entrenched in his heart. Then another person, the name of Walid bin Mughira, he was a disbeliever. He was an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But once, when he heard Rasul reciting Quran, it was this verse. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita idil qurba. He heard this verse, he went back to his people, the other kuffar of the Quraysh, and he said, I heard, I came from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And innaha, innahu lahalawa wa talawa. This word has got mitas in it, sweetness in it, halawa. And talawa simply means it has some type of divine nur. Although he said this, he still didn't embrace Islam, iman wasn't written for him. But imagine this verse had that much impact on him that he realized, he had to confess that he's got something in it, some sweetness, some pull. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand Quran, to understand Quran. Allah Ta'ala is addressing us 30 paras. And how much of the 30 paras do we really know? Make an effort inshallah to learn the Quran, of course from the correct people, from the correct tafaseer, authentic ones. Ulama have written many. This simple translation, sometimes it's difficult to get the full meaning, but there are, alhamdulillah, programs, tafsir take place in this masjid, many other masajid. Even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, but something we will understand. We should make that effort. Otherwise, our whole lives go past. We're reading Quran, mashallah, but we haven't understood what my Allah is saying. What my Allah is talking to me. You go on overseas and your wife sends you a letter or some message, then you read it once, twice, three times. We'll make sure he didn't miss any dot. Allah Ta'ala's kalam. MashaAllah, we have love for Quran, we recite the Quran, but we must understand the meaning of the Quran to make amal on the Quran and to pass it on to others. Allah give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq, wa akhiru dawan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.